Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the words that you have given and imparted to me, Lord God, to bring across to this body of believers. I thank you, Heavenly Father, their ears are open to hear accurately. Their hearts have been prepared, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, right now, that the anointing be upon me and that the Holy Spirit rises up big within me to be able to deliver it accurately and boldly. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We can't start without this. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is on the throne. Ain't nobody been able to knock him off that throne. One who tried has been paying the price. So with that said, I'm going to tell you, our God is not moved by circumstances, situations, or the news media reports. And neither should we. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And this is in the New King James. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart in these times is the only way that you and I are going to be able to have peace. Now, Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah 26, verse 3. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in him. Perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace. When our mind is stayed on him, that's where we'll get that peace, because we're going to start to trust him. We got to trust him. In the original Hebrew text, the term perfect peace is actually shalom, shalom. This shows how, in the Hebrew language, repetition communicates intensity. See, it isn't just shalom. It is shalom, shalom, perfect peace. It is as if God wasn't satisfied with giving us one door of peace to walk through. He opened up the double doors of peace and said, shalom, shalom. To be kept in this perfect peace, our mind must be stayed on the Lord. If our mind is stayed on ourselves, our problems, the problem people in our lives, the world around us, or anything else for that matter, we can't have this perfect peace. See, Satan loves to get our minds on anything except God and his love to us. Our mind must be stayed on him. And to emphasize that point, Isaiah wrote, because he trusts in you. See, this is another way of expressing the idea of keeping our mind stayed on him. Almost always, you keep your mind stayed on whatever you are trusting. When we trust in the Lord, we keep our mind stayed on him. It all means that the battle for trust in our lives begins in our minds. If we trust the Lord, it will show in our actions, but it will begin in our minds. Now, in Proverbs 29, verse 25, says, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe and secure. You trust in the Lord, you will be safe and secure. Psalm 91, how many times have we read that? We go to that psalm. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is Shaddai, the all-powerful. The all-powerful one. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be under that shadow. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. It sounds like we must speak something. So we must say this. We must say, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Now he is my refuge and my fortress. And that may be rephrased as my secure, impenetrable fortress. Kind of like that. Impenetrable fortress. Who are you going to trust? God, right? Now in Nahum 1:7, in the New International Reader's Version, it says this, the Lord is good. I like that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. When people are in trouble, they can go to him for safety. That is protection. He takes good care of those who trust in him. When in trouble, a state of distress, annoyance, or difficulty causing us anxiety, stress, and worry, we can go to him for protection. And when we place our trust in him, he will take good care of us. But you got to place your trust in him, and he will take good care of us. Now in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. Those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. They know that the Lord will do what he says. Did you hear that? They know that the Lord will do what he says. Verse 8, they will be strong like trees planted near a stream that send out roots to the water. They have nothing to fear when the days get hot. Their leaves are always green. Green meaning full of life. They never worry. Let me say that again right there. They never worry. Even in a year that has no rain, they always produce fruit. Trust in the Lord and you will be blessed. Someone referred, when I was talking to them, said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. That told me that that individual is trusting in the Lord. He's so blessed that he is without stress. Those who confidently trust him never worry. Glory be to God. They never worry. When you can get to that point trusting the Lord confidently, you're not going to have any worries. But this verse teaches us when we trust in God, we will not be free from trials and adversity, but that God will bring fruit and blessing in and through the difficulties. Now in Proverbs again, verse 3:5-7. But this time be amplified. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. But he makes your pathways straight and plain. Plain is when you take a piece of wood and you plane it out, you take all the bumps out of it. That's the way he can make your pathway. But verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. See, we are given a warning about self-conceit here. See, a conceited person has an inflated self-image and perceives him or herself to know it all, having all the answers. See, God is the only one who knows everything. He is omniscient. God is the source of all knowledge, and God also knows all the potentialities of any situation. Oh, by the way, God knows every person's thoughts, even before they think them. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. The reverential fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Until we understand who God is and develop a reverential fear of him through fellowshipping with him, we cannot have true wisdom. True wisdom comes only from understanding who God is and that he is holy, just, and righteous. You hear that? He is holy, he is just, and he is righteous. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. And turn entirely away from evil. In 2 Chronicles 7, verses 14 and 15, easy to read version. If my people who are called by my name become humble and pray and look for me and turn away from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I will forgive their sin, he says, and heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes are open, he says, and my ears will pay attention to the prayers made in Aliquippa Christian Assembly and the churches throughout this nation and the churches around this world. God has heard our prayers, and he is doing what he is famous for. He is shutting the mouths of lions and bringing dry bones to life. He's walking us through the fire. And we're going through the fire, but we're not going to get scorched. We're not going to get singed. The hairs on our arms and our body are not going to get touched. In Isaiah 43, verse 19 of the New Living Translation, the Lord says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a way. I will make a way," the Lord says, "through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." When there seems to be no way, God always makes a way. Might not be the way that you thought, because God has always said, "Your ways are not my ways." Isaiah 55:8, part B. He is God of the impossible. We are human, and we look at things in the natural. What we see, feel, and hear moves us when they shouldn't. We are to be moved by who we trust and believe in. Now in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said, because of your unbelief, little faith, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, remember the little mustard seed? You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible. How about Matthew 19:26? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You hear that? With God, all things are possible. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27 of the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But not with God. Everything is possible with God. One more. Luke 18, verse 27, the Passion Translation. What appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God. For God can do what man cannot. When faced with seemingly impossibilities, we need to put them in God's hands. Just as he parted the Red Sea, reversed the events in Esther, raised Jesus from the dead, converted Saul to Paul, God is capable of reversing our irreversible problems. You just got to have faith. Just got to have faith. Because we know what Hebrews 11 says. 6 says, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How are we to seek him? Diligently. Now, in 1 Peter 5:7 of the Amplified Bible, it says, casting the whole of your care, worries, the impossibilities, right? Give him the impossibilities. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He loves you. Are you getting that, folks? He loves you. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. I can hear that echoing. When we go to God in prayer, we are to go believing we will receive what we are asking him for. Be sure it lines up with his will, his word. Amen? Because in Mark 11:24 of the Passion Translation, Jesus said, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe. For whatever you ask for in prayer. Boldly believe. For whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it. Have received it. Have. Present tense. That means you got it. It's yours. Have it. You have received it. And it will be yours. That's what Jesus says. How we pray is important. And by that, I mean believing. Believing. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, again, this time back in the ones you're all familiar with, the New King James. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Prayer changes things. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women has great power and produces great and amazing results. James 5:16. I believe God is healing our land. We are seeing the glory of God being manifested before our very eyes daily. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians 6:7. Passion Translation. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. God will never be mocked. The Word of God is true, even when everything else around us is telling us otherwise. In Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 of the Amplified Classic, what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make in effect and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity? That's faithfulness to his word. By no means. Let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar. Everything that has to do with men, everything in this natural world, is subject to change. But the word of God is not. The word of God is not subject to change. Because our God does not change. Amen. God said, I am watching to see that my word comes true. God said that. I'm watching to see that my word comes true. That's in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. God is active and alert, folks, and he's watching over his word to perform it. When he speaks, he uses godly men and women, prophets. God used many prophets to tell of the coming of a Messiah, his son Jesus Christ. The God of eternity laid out in detail after detail every prophecy, how it was going to happen and how it was going to take place, even down to the exact little town Jesus would be born in, Bethlehem. On top of all the natural specifics foretold in prophecy, the word of the Lord announced the impossible. He will be born of a virgin. That's an impossibility. But not with God. But not with God. The probability of one prophecy precisely coming to pass is impressive. But fulfillment of them all is estimated by some probability mathematicians to be one chance in 10 to the 17th power. Now, Leanne just nodded because she knows that's 10 with 17 zeros after it. Quite impressive. But the chance for the impossible is, well, zero. Yet Jesus did come right down to the last detail as the word of the Lord said he would. When God speaks out something in prophecies, we need to remember that it is his word and it will come to pass. Isaiah 55:11, Amplified Classic. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. That's plan. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And Second Chronicles. I want you to look to chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. When Jehoshaphat was facing three massive armies that were coming against Judah and Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, he went to God because he knew that he couldn't. There was nothing he could do. And down in verse 12 says, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them?" Now, these are nations that when Israel came out of Egypt, they went around. They didn't go through them. They didn't root them out. Didn't do anything. God didn't let them do it. But here they are right now. They're going to come against Judah. "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Their minds were basically stayed on him. So they went and they asked the Lord for help. And the Lord, he answered them. He answered them as they were gathered together, praying. Men, women, and children, they were all together. In verse 14, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Joel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly." And he said, Jehazah, he said, "Listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid." Do not be afraid is found 365 times in the Bible. Huh? 365 times. So do not be afraid. You got one for every day of the year. "Do not or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle wasn't theirs. It was God's. "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Go out and stand. That's all he's asked to do. So the next morning, they wake up. They're going to do exactly what they were told to do. They march out. But as they arose, now verse 20 says, "So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem.'" Are you listening, folks? "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." I'm just going to say, the prophets have spoken. See, God has begun the healing process in our nation. And it has begun by elimination of the infection from within. See, that's the only way it's going to get better. You got to get rid of the infection. And Jesus said, "Believe and you will see the glory of God. His presence will be manifested for us to see. It ain't going to be pretty, folks. It ain't going to be pretty. But take heart. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in him. God will keep us in perfect peace when we're stayed upon him, when we trust in him, confidently trust in him. I'm telling you, God's in control. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your mind. Cast your cares upon him. He loves you. Amen. Father, I thank you right now that these words go forth, Lord God. They're going to give us, Lord God, that peace, that perfect peace, because we are realizing that when we totally, confidently trust in you, we can have that peace. Shalom, shalom. We'll have that inner peace within us, Lord God, in our spirits. And we'll have the outer peace, which comes out from around us. We shall see it. And we will give you all the glory and the honor for it, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you, and I praise you, and I plead the blood over each and every one listening and hearing this message right now. Protect them, Lord God, as only you can, by that blood, your blood, the cleansing, redeeming blood of Jesus. Amen.